All right, in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, we'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible here. And you will find these words. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps." And we said last week that we're going to call those mayors, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, to the governors, so that the king would suffer no loss. But in the midst of that, the Bible says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king, somebody say the king, gave thought. He ain't did it yet. He just was thinking about it. He gave thought to setting him, talking about Daniel, over the whole realm. In other words, I'm going to elevate this guy who came into my kingdom as a slave, and now I'm going to put him over the whole. Now, we ain't going to look at that this week. I don't want y'all to get stuck there because, you know, next week we're going to take a close look and see that, you know, when you get elevated, everybody ain't happy. I told you that. And them other 120 and them other governor, yeah. So sometime when you distinguish yourself, you just got to believe that there's going to be some opposition that comes along with it. Amen? You ain't going to stand out and go unnoticed. And when you get noticed by certain people who oppose what you are standing up for, then guess what? You're going to face opposition. You may be seated. This is going to be our second sermon in the series we've entitled Distinguished, Standing Out for God. We said that distinguished is excellence or distinction that sets someone or something apart from others. To make oneself prominent or worthy of respect through one's behavior or achievements. And the third definition says to recognize or treat someone as different. And I've said that we are looking at some individuals and who have distinguished themselves in the Bible through their faithfulness, their courage, their leadership, and devotion to God and his purposes. They were acting in ways that set them apart from the world and the culture that they were in. And I've said that it is my prayer that we can learn from these individuals and be encouraged and be inspired to live distinguished lives, standing out for God in the midst of the world that we live in. In our generation, we ought to stand up and we ought to be distinguished for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, last week, we took a quick look and saw how Noah distinguished himself as well as Joseph, Deborah, and Esther. And so this week, I want to take a look at David and some of the fellows in the New Testament. So I got some lengthy passages here, so I invite you to indulge me for a moment. But at the same time, don't try to remember everything. This is going to be like a classroom lesson where the teacher is going to give you a lot of stuff, but you need to just hold on to one or two things that pertains to you. Right. Amen. Don't say, oh, man, he's going to read a lot. Yeah, I got to talk about David. Y'all know? And see what has happened is that this story has been talked about so much and only as some little allegorical story that we miss the power of God in the story. See, we just look at little David with this little sling and we lose sight of what's really behind everything that is happening in David's life. And so that day we want to slow down at that and take a look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now David distinguished himself when he was a young shepherd boy. Somebody say a shepherd boy. And you know, Moses, all he was doing was running errands. You know, his dad had told him to go out and take supplies to his brothers who were in Saul's army. And one day while he was near the battlefield, he heard the enemy of God. He heard this guy boasting and making threats against God's people. And because he was boasting in such a way, God's army and God's king was afraid. And now this champion, who was the enemy of God, was named Goliath. Most of y'all know the story. And his army and Israel's army was on two sides of a valley. And so he was challenging them. Hey, look, instead of us going through all this trouble, why don't we just have a man-on-man fight and the winner take all? In other words, if I win, then you guys become my slaves. And if you win, then we will become your slaves. Now, David was at the scene hearing this, and so David made an inquiry because he had heard that the king had incentivized this fight. Brother Wilson, he said, now look, you know, whoever would go out there and fight, if they win, one, I'm going to relieve their family from paying taxes. You know, some folks do anything to get out. They will stay up all night long looking for holes here and holes there. We just don't like. Even though the Bible said give back to Caesar what's, we just don't like paying tax. That would have probably incentivized some. I'll fight, but I ain't got to pay no. And on top of that, he said the king is willing to give up one of his daughters. In other words, he allowed his daughter to marry whoever wins. So when David inquired about this, the word got back to the king, and now the king want to have an audience with David. And so I want you to take a look at how this exchange went between the king and David and see how David stands firmly and represent God before the king. Now look at this. He says in verse 31, it says, then David's question was reported to King Saul. And the king sent for him. So in other words, I see Saul's summons there. When someone requests you to be at a certain place at a certain time, David could not deny the request of the king. So now he got to go and stand before the king. Then in verse 32, I want you to see David's courage. Because David stood before him and says, don't worry about this Philistine. David told Saul. Then he says, I'll go and fight him. Now, you would think that by David stepping to the challenge, the king would accept that right off the bat, because nobody else stepped up. But there was some doubt in Saul's mind. Because Saul came back in verse 33 and says, don't be ridiculous. Saul replied. Anyway, David, you absurd, man. You talking like somebody just out your mind. Because look at his fatalistic viewpoint. He says, there's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. In other words, victory for you, David, is beyond your possibility. Why? Because you're only a and he's a man of war since his. You know, sometime a boy got to step up and do a man's. Amen. That age don't always make you a. Amen. And so therefore, we ought to encourage our youth that don't despise their youth when God has empowered them to do something, even though they are young. Don't think that only old folks and people of certain age can get certain things done. If God is on your side, age is not. It's not the problem. So he said, now look, you know, he's been a man of war since he was young. But look at David's persistence, because in his persistence, he give a testimony. And I want you to see that all of you need a testimony. All of you need something that you can say about God based upon what he has done for you. Because every now and then you may need to stand up and give your testimony. And David is here now having to give his testimony, because it's going to be his testimony that changed the heart. Y'all better hear me today. Look, he said, but David, I'm 34, but David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion, somebody say a lion. You know, a lion is supposed to be the most fierce animal. You know, that's the king of the jungle. He didn't say a little wolf or a fox. He said when a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and somebody say rescue. That rescue, that means he deliver. He set free. Rescue the lamb from his mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. David is testifying, y'all. Y'all got to hear him say, I have done this both to lions and bears. And I got confidence, Brother JP. I'll do it to this pagan Philistine. He says, two, for he has defiled. In other words, you know, he's been openly resisting God's people, the armies of the living God, Elohim, the supreme God. You guys have been standing around watching this guy defy your God, and you don't have the guts to defend what you believe. You don't have the guts to defend the God that you say that's all-powerful, that's all-knowing, and it can be everywhere. And you let this uncircumcised, that's what some of y'all Bible say, this uncircumcised Philistine. He wasn't just a Philistine, bro. He wasn't even... sure enough, heathen. But look at this. This is what David get the consent of Saul in verse 37. He says, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. David was speaking in confidence, and now in his confidence, he get the consent of Saul, because the Bible says Saul finally consented. Somebody said consented. In other words, gave him permission to do something. He says, all right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be, that word Lord, that is where we get the word Jehovah from, and some people don't say Jehovah, they just call him Yah, but it's the same Lord, the self-existent one, the one who was there before all things were created. And so even Saul knew that there was a God out there that could be with David, but he didn't figure that that God could be with him. So just because someone know of God and say they believe God don't necessarily mean they trust. Amen. Y'all better hear me today. It's a lot of folks that's listening to me today, not in here because y'all are here today. I'm going to give y'all the benefit of the doubt, but there are a lot of folks listening online who know of God, say they believe God, but when push comes to shove, they don't trust God. And so now David showed that he can trust God, because the Bible says now David accepted the challenge. And I don't have time to read it, but real quick, he said, you know, Saul now want to offer David his armor. And you know, if you were too scared to put it on, it wasn't going to be good enough for you. Why are you going to give it to me? But now that didn't what David said. David was a little small guy. So he tried to put it on. He couldn't walk in. He said, man, this ain't going to work for me. You know, I don't need your armor. So the Bible says David went by the brook and he got five. Y'all know the story. You know, those of you who understand how projectiles move through the air know that things move better when they're airplane wings are smooth stones move better. They go through the ice with the air with precision. And see, what you got to understand is some of y'all been out there fighting with rough stones. Stuff that hurts you more than hurt the enemy. You need to get some weapons that is going to work for you and not against you. And see what we're going to see here, Brother Wilson, that Goliath come into battle thinking infantry. David come in thinking airborne. Amen. Because David was outsized and he was out armor, because from tails, Goliath could have been anywhere from 7 to 9 feet. And David was a little guy. How do I know? Because the enemy miscalculated him when he was looking at his size. You know, my coach used to always tell us in football, Brother JP, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Every now and then, a little dog can beat. Y'all better hear me. Y'all in verse 41, he says, now look, when these two come together after David has refused Saul's armor, the Bible says, Goliath walked toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. In other words, Goliath's stuff was so heavy, he didn't even care. He had an armor bearer. carrying his stuff. And 42 say he was sneering in contempt. I mean, he was talking bad, talking trash, talking noise at this ruddy-faced boy. Ruddy David didn't look like, you know, David probably didn't look the most masculine. He probably looked a little soft. Amen. He was cute. Yeah. David wasn't ugly. He was cute. You know, he was cute. You know, sometimes people think cute boys can't fight. You know, just because the guy go to the shop and get his nails done, get his toes taken care of, don't necessarily mean he's soft. Brother Gene, you done got yours done, haven't you? And I don't believe you're soft. Brother Moses, I don't know. You ever got your toes and your nails done? Yeah. If somebody see you coming out the shop, you know, kid, they may think kid's soft. But that would be a miscalculation. Because they just don't know. You can't judge Kent by his nails. Just because there's no grease and no dirt under his nails, don't mean he can't fight. So Goliath miscalculated David by looking at him and seeing what he looked like. And sometimes people judge you based upon what you don't even know nothing about you. Don't even know what's on the inside of you, but they look at you and see something and they just make a judgment based upon what you. Then we see in verse 43 and 44, Goliath's self-glorification. Look what he said. He says, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the name of his God. In other words, Goliath worshiped many gods. So he says, come over here, boasting and bragging, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. You know, in the hood, we used to always say, man, talk is cheap. I mean, we used to say that all the time. Because some guys could just woof, woof, woof. I mean, they just woof, woof, woof. And we would always talk, while they woofing, you need to go ahead and hit them in the mouth. Don't be intimidated by the wolf. You be intimidated by the dude that don't say too much. Because the dude that don't say too much is standing there trying to figure out how he going to take you out while you running your mouth. So if you're going to fight, fight. Don't be selling wolf tickets to the devil. You ain't got no business just going back and forth arguing. If you're going to fight him, fight him. If you're going to run, run. But if you're going to fight, go ahead and throw the first punch. Don't wait to let him hit you. You throw the. Some of y'all been woofing too long. You've been crying and complaining about your problem too long. It's time for you to fight whatever it is you woof. Oh, God, y'all better help me today. He says, come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the wild animals, Goliath yelled. Then I see David's righteous declaration in 45 through 47. Look what he says. David replied to the Philistine. You come to me with sword, spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the, somebody say the name. Amen. The name of the Lord of hosts of heaven, the Lord of heaven's armies. In other words, I come to you in the name of the one who can protect his army, who can defend his army, who is the God of the armies of Israel, the same one you have defied. Whom you defy. In other words, the God that you have been defying and being rebellious against, that's the very God that I'm coming to you in his name. Now look at this. He says, now, because I'm so confident, he says, today, somebody shout today. Today. Not tomorrow, but today is the day for some of y'all. Yeah. Amen. You've been putting on. You've been saying tomorrow, tomorrow long enough. For some of y'all, whatever it is that's confronting you, today is the day you need to take care of. Today is the day that you need to deal with it. Today is the day that you need to confront it, because you keep putting it off, and the longer you put it off, the stronger it gets. He says, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Not David. You know, David talking pretty bold right now. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals. And then he said, and the world, somebody shout the world. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Man, when I take you down, it's going to sound all over the world, and everybody going to know, not that there's David in Israel, but there is a, and everybody ought to know that in your life, there is a God that can handle your big problem. There is a God that can deliver you, that there is a God that can set you free. People ought to know that there is a, not many gods, but the God of the universe, the Almighty. And because we have become so diluted with the word God now, there are so many little gods out there, and people don't know. But you need to know that the God that lives in you is the God of the universe. The whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescued his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's. Somebody said the Lord's battle. This fight is not mine. All I am is the instrument. But the fact that I'm here is because of God, and it's his fight. I'm just going to allow him to use me to do what needs to be done, but the fight belongs to him. If I lose, he look bad. Because I'm his representative. And look at this. And he will give you to us. Not me, but it's him. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. So often when we get victories in our life, we give it the victory to the wrong person. We start talking about us, what we've done. When in reality, Marvin, we need to be talking about what God did. All we are is the vessel that God chose to use. Now look at this. I want you to see in verse 48 through 51, David's great precision. Look at this. He says now, verse 48 says, as Goliath moved closer to attack. Well, you know, Goliath, big guy, all that armor. You know, he was not as nimble. He was not as agile, not as quick. He couldn't move. You know, he had the calculation, but he was moving. But the Bible says while he was moving, David ran quickly. David quickly ran out to. See, most Christians, they stand back and wait on the enemy to get the momentum and get to them. Sometimes you got to be bold enough to run to your problem. Amen. Not run away from your problem. You've been running long enough. It's time for you to just turn around and stand up and face whatever it is. And so he said, now, while the enemy was coming, he didn't just sit there and panic. He quickly ran out to meet him. And reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit, somebody say hit, the Philistine in the forehead. Somebody touch your forehead. Right there. Right there. You know what's behind that? Y'all say it. Brain. You know what your brain do? It controls everything in your neurological system. It controls all your movements, your mouth, your tongue, your feet, everything. So therefore, if I'm going to hit you in a place that when I hit you, you ain't going to be able to raise up that sword. You ain't going to be able to raise up that shield. I'm going to hit you in a place that when I hit you, you ain't going to be able to do nothing but. Your feet ain't going to work. Some of y'all know people who are dealing with neurological issues now. Their feet just don't work all the time. They want to do this, but their feet ain't doing nothing. Why? Because their brain is not functioning the way they should be. So now David take a headshot. You know, in most movies, snipers don't shoot at arms. They don't shoot at legs. Now, in the police academy, they tell you on a normal day, you shoot at center mass. But a sniper is taught to shoot at your. Because if you holding a gun to somebody's head, I want to hit you so that your finger ain't going to even be able to. If I shoot you in the stomach, it may kill you, but you can still pull the. Y'all better get this today. David fought with precision. He says, now look, he reached in his bag and he hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell how? Face down. Now, if we read that in the Bible and just, well, he just fell. No, it was specific. He fell. You know, even in boxing, they say anytime you see a boxer get hit, you know, it's different, Kent, when you hit him and he stumbled back to the ropes and wobble off and all that and still stagger. But when you hit him and he fall face down, it's over. The referees are going to count him out. He done fell. Goliath didn't just fall, Marvin. You know you're an engineer type. He fell. Face. You know you just fall on your face. That's a terrible fall. You know, it's tough enough you fall on your back, got your butt back there and everything else. But you fall on your face. So he fell face down. In other words, he was knocked out. He wasn't dead. Just because the enemy been knocked down don't mean he's dead. See, sometimes you just got to finish the job. Some of y'all let up on him too quick. When you get the enemy down, you got to make sure he don't get up again. Whenever you get a handle on whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life and you get it down, Brother Herb, you got to make sure it don't get up again, because that habit will come back. That addiction, that whatever it is you're doing, if you don't kill it while it's down, it will come back. So he fell face down on the ground. Look what David did. He could have left that. He could have took his victory lap right there. I'd have knocked him out. You know, I heard a dude say to somebody, knocking somebody out in the movie too like that. You know? Y'all saw that movie too, huh? Okay, got it. Okay. So he says, so David triumphed. Somebody say triumph. That means he won. He had victory over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then he ran over and pulled out Goliath's sword from its sheath, and David used it to kill. Somebody say to kill him. He killed him and cut off his. Now, y'all know the rest of the story. David did that. Goliath men got scared. They started running. And the Israelites now get brave. They start running them down. They kill them. They plunder. Take all their stuff. And they go back to Israel. And when they go back to Israel, David go in with his victory lap. Guess what he had, Brother Wilson? It seemed kind of gory to be in the Bible. But the Bible said David had Goliath's head walking down the street with it, letting everybody know your enemy is dead. This guy ain't gonna cause you no problem no more. You need to let some people know in your life that your enemy, whatever that enemy was, is. He's not gonna cause me, or it's not gonna cause me any problem anymore, because it is dead. And I got a trophy here to show this dead. And see, sometimes you may need to make some markers in your life. When you win a victory, you need to create something that you can look at every time that thing wanna rise up again. You can say, no, you are. I done got over you. You are. Because if you don't get it in your mind that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, has killed some things in your life, those things will raise up their head again, and you will allow them to come back and get a toehold in your life. And if they get back in there again, it's going to be worse than the first time. You just got to remind them that you are. Time for you to declare that there's some things that's dead, and I got a trophy to show for her. God gave me the victory. And so every now and then, there's nothing wrong when God give you the victory for you celebrating your victory that God has given you. Let other people around you know that God has given me the victory. David could have just left the head out on the battlefield. But no, he took the head. And so guess what? That head with him may have inspired those other folk to know that, hey, we can start celebrating too now, because David had killed a guy that was tormenting all. Other people can benefit from your victory, but you got to be bold enough to share your victory. Let's transition now and go to the book of Acts real quick, my last piece here. We saw that David distinguished himself, but in Acts chapter 4, here we see Peter and John distinguish themselves when they were arrested and brought before the religious council or the Sanhedrin council. And they was arrested for preaching and teaching in Jesus' name the resurrection from the dead. In other words, they was telling everybody about Jesus and his resurrection. And in the midst of that, it so happened that there was a man that had been lame for a number of years. And they healed that man in the front of all the people. And once they started preaching Jesus' name and healing in Jesus' name, this greatly disturbed the religious leaders because they thought that you just can't go out there and do anything without our permission. But the bigger problem was, Brother Wilson, 5,000 people believed what they had seen. And they started to believe in Jesus. And so what we're going to see is this exchange between Peter and John and the council, because the council had thought that once they had crucified Jesus, they thought that everything would be over with this movement that he started. But they didn't realize that there were some persistent followers who were willing to go out and distinguish themselves by standing up for him even when the odds were stacked against them. In other words, Peter and John is in this hall or in this courtroom, we say, and he got these 70 or 72 religiously, the hierarchy of the religious order. And they looking at them and saying, now look here, these are just common folk. Yeah. Here they are, outnumbered, out-educated, out-man, you name it, they was out it. But in the midst of being outnumbered, Brother Wilson, they had something to say. And when Peter starts speaking, after the question was answered, what you got to see is that when you are empowered with the Holy Spirit, something ought to be different in your life. You ought to be able to talk different. You ought to be able to walk different. You ought to be able to act different. You ought to be able to say something, carry yourself in a way that other people distinguish you and take note. And more so, you ought to be bold enough to say what God told you to. So, God, you got to imagine now, Peter and John in this courtroom, like, say for right now, it's about 70 or so people here, and you're on trial. They done brought you in because you worked the miracle, and you've been working these miracles in this guy's name. In this name. This name is causing us problems. But we got to get to the source of it. And what are we going to do? So what we see here starting in verse 7 is the significant question that kind of started this off. Y'all in verse 7, Acts chapter 4, it says, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, somebody say demanded. Amen. They demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Look at this. Now you know they ain't got it. You've been out there healing and you've been out there teaching, and you ain't got no power. You don't have no authority. Who gave you the power and the authority to go out there and do that? We're the ones who run religious order around here. We're the ones who establish religious practices around here. And who gave you the authority? That'd be like you walking out down the street corner right now and you start preaching, you know, and just talking Jesus. And someone said, who gave you the authority to be out here? You ain't got no license. You ain't been ordained. How in the world can you be out here talking about Jesus? You got to let them know, in order to talk about Jesus, I don't need no license. All I need to do is be bold enough to talk about him. All I need is the Holy Spirit on this side. I don't need a license to talk. I don't need somebody's permission to talk about Jesus. Some of y'all are not talking about him because you're waiting for somebody to give you permission on something that you've already been given permission to do. Oh, Lord, look at this, what he says. The Bible says, then Peter, somebody say filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. Somebody shout Holy Spirit. In other words, now Peter is being inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit to say something. Now get this. There's a difference between this Peter and the Peter that was there that night when the little girl asked him, do you know Jesus? Because when the little girl asked that Peter, do you know Jesus? Peter denied knowing Jesus. But now this Peter, who was afraid of a little girl, then got bold in the front of 70 or 72 men. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit can't give you something. Some of y'all walking around here like the Peter who was talking to the little girl, and I'm trying to empower you to talk like the Peter that had the Holy Spirit. We always talk about we got the Holy Spirit. We always say we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Then now we need to talk like and act like we've been filled with the. Not like the little person talking to the little girl, because fear grip you when things come in your life. Look what he says here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. Said to them, rulers and elders of our people. I'm going to be respectful. I'm going to show you the respect that you'll do, but I'm going to also speak with confidence. He says, we are being questioned today because we've done a good deed. Somebody say a good deed. A good deed for a crippled man. Do you want to know how he was healed? So since you called me here, I got a question for you. Do you want to know how the man was? Because if you do want to know, then guess what? I'm bold enough to tell you. So look, I love verse 10. He says, let me clearly state. Somebody say clearly state. You know, when you say, let me say this clearly. You know, you have been talking to somebody. Say, let me just say this clearly. When I speak to you clearly, I'm going to say it in a way that you got to understand what I'm saying. I don't want you to leave here confused with a foggy mind. I don't know what we're saying. Let me say this. Sometimes when you're talking to your children, you never say, look here, y'all need to listen and let me say this. I don't want you coming back later and say, Daddy, I ain't understand what you meant. No, no, no. I said, let me say this. Let me say this clearly. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the power, somebody say powerful, the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Uh-oh. I don't take credit for the healing, even though I was the vessel that was used, but I'm telling you, he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. The man you crucified, but, somebody say but whom God raised from the dead. Now, Peter, in that short statement, then gave them Fabian's story of the cross, and he also gave them the story of the resurrection. Two vital principles of Christianity, the cross and the. So he said, now look, this same Jesus, the one that you crucified, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's the name that I was operating in. That's the name that I was working in. That's the name that gave me the authority. The same one that y'all killed, but God raised from the. Then look at verse 11 and 12, and we see the rejection. He said, now, because Peter says this, for Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture. You can find that in Psalms 118, 22, where it says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the. God, I had to work with that, Pee Wee. I know you work with foundation, then you build it, and there's a cornerstone. Everything is lined up on the cornerstone. It is the foundational stone. Everything is built on that foundation. And what he's saying, the very stone that you looked down on, that you thought was nothing, the very stone that God sent to reveal himself to you through, that stone you rejected. And because you rejected it, didn't stop God from making him to be the center stone, the cornerstone of this new religion that we're teaching. He is the foundation. He is the one that we talk about. He has become the cornerstone. Now look at this. And then he says this. Now this is where, you know, this is liberating right here, because sometimes you get an argument with folk about how they need to be saved and who they need to be saved through. And so right here, Peter put an end to all that argument. Jesus already said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father but me. But here Peter says this. He says in verse 12, there is salvation in no one else. Somebody said, no one else. I know you got some friends out there that just don't want to accept Jesus. But you're going to have to be bold enough to tell them that is salvation. I know you got an affinity for them crystals and you like this and you got that energy, you get energy from here. But is the source of that energy named Jesus? If where you're getting your energy from is not Jesus, then you ain't gonna be. Get quiet right there. That's a deal breaker for a lot of folk when you start saying that. Because now you may have to call some of them other names that people pray to and worship and all that. If their name is not. Good God Almighty. You know, I would have thought that we'd be shouting right now. That would almost be like, you know, playing cards, Brother Hurd, and you got both jokers. I mean, you just sitting there with your hand, and you know, they just talking smack. They just talking smack, smack, smack. But I'm sitting here with confidence, knowing I got both of them. I can change the outcome of the game, any. Baby, I can change this conversation anytime. All I got to do is tell you, whoever you believe in, if his name ain't Jesus, game over. Game over. That's all I mean. If his name ain't, I know you may call him confused this and boot that, but if his name ain't, y'all got to be bold enough to say that, man, because y'all don't talk to some people and y'all don't know how to shut them down. Sometimes you just got to shut the opposition. I entertain you for so long and I go back and forth with you for so long, but sooner or later I'm going to say, look here, here's the way. He is the truth. He is the light. No man comes to the Father but by. And Peter here says, look here, the only name that you could be saved by. Good God. There is salvation in no one else. Look at this. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say, like you believe it, Jesus. Jesus. You know, that's all you need to remember. You know, right now when people go out and pray, we love praying in God's name. God, I thank you for this. God, I thank you for that. That's okay. Everybody will accept God. Even though they may be talking about different God, because there's many God, but when you say God, you make everybody happy. Oh, they believe in God. Okay, I believe in God too. But the God I believe in got a son. And it's his name that caused a problem. Because when I say in the name of Jesus, that's going to distinguish me, Brother Anthony. That's right. That's going to set me apart from everybody who just want to talk about. Sometimes you got to get beyond just talking about God to talking about Jesus. The one who named that you got to be saved. Oh, I know y'all didn't want to hear that today. I know that's going to upset some of y'all friends because you've been just nice to them and just talking God, 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 not knowing that they're talking about this God and that God, the sun God, the moon God. You know, they just talking about God. And we're just having a nice, godly conversation. But sooner or later, you got to be bold enough because the Holy Spirit is in you to say, does your God have a son named Jesus? And if the answer to that is no, then you got to let them know they got the wrong name. Let me read that again, y'all, because I don't think y'all believe that's in the Bible. This is what Peter telling religious leaders. He said, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other. Bolden won't do it. Moses Johnson can't do it. Major can't do it. Brother JP can't do it. Least can't. No other name. So when you come to church, we ought to be hearing about Jesus. Yeah. How in the world we come to church and hear about all of us and we never talk about Jesus? Like we can do something. We can't do nothing without his name. All the authority, all the power, everything that we get comes through him. He got to be the center of attention. He got to be what it's all about and not about. Bolden can't do it. You don't need me to get to Jesus. You need Jesus to get you to God. Now, y'all better learn the right name. I don't mind you respecting me and looking up to me as your pastor, but it's not mine. Man, I would love to have been the star of this movie where it say, yeah, there's no one else. God has given no other name in which you must be saved but Bolden. Bolden. But it's not Bolden.
Yeah.
Jesus. You come to strive and to learn about
Jesus.
To talk about him. To represent him.
Yeah.
To let the world know about
Jesus.
Him. Because if they're going to be saved, they're going to have to know the name of
Jesus.
For a long time, I didn't even know that passage was in the Bible. But man, when I found that passage in the Bible, that became one of those passages you always had in your hip pocket. Because if this is the truth, then everybody else is spreading a lie when they come with another.
Yeah.
Amen. Y'all can be nice, but you're lying.
Yeah.
Lying. Who you calling on? Lying. Lying. What's the name? Lying. Lying. Y'all too nice, right?
Yeah.
Y'all just won't call the devil a lie. You just let him tell that lie, and you said, And you got the name that is above.
Yeah,
I just don't want to be confrontation. Well, they came to you. They're trying to convert you to something. You need to tell them, I got the name. I know the name. I stand on the... Now look at it. After they said that, man, you know, you get some religious folk attention when you say some stuff like that. Then look at verse 14. They were amazed. The amazement. And 13 and 14 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You know, when you stand out, people can see it. And you can say some things that people can see what you're saying. And it can cause them to be
amazed.
Look at this. For they could see that they were ordinary men. Now, the New Living Translation is nice. It just call them ordinary, but some Bible said they were uneducated and unlearned. You know, you standing before all these PhDs. These are the Sadducees and the Pharisees, all the people that were knowledgeable. All these 70 guys was knowledge. They was PhDs in religious law. And here you get these two guys that walked off the street that we done brought in here, and they ain't even got a rabbi degree. They ain't even got an A, a BA, a MA, not less a PhD. They just ordinary folk standing before this council trying to plead their case for some guy named. He said, now look, that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with. You know, Fabian talked a couple weeks ago about being trained and being learned and knowing more, knowing what you have been taught. And so therefore now we see they recognize that these guys have been with the master teacher, the teacher of teachers. They didn't need to go to rabbi school if they had the rabbi of rabbis teaching them. They didn't need to go to school. They had the God of the universe teaching them. And so these men realized that because they was with Jesus, they had an education that they could not come against. Look at this. He says, now look. But since they could see that the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing for the council to say. Man, they had Exhibit A. Evidence. Mose Johnson standing up here. And everybody know that Mose been crippled for 40 years. And all of a sudden we come in the name of
Jesus.
And now Mose walking around like he got a newfound life. And all these religious leaders say, man, we don't like what they did, but there's nothing we can say, because not only did we see, other folks saw this, and those folks who saw this remember what they saw. You know, if it hadn't been for the other people seeing and knowing this, they probably would have tried to kill old Peter and John right then. But they said, man, if we do, we're going to start a riot. So they go to this room to do some deliberating. He says, now look, in verse 15 and 16. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber, and they conferred. Somebody say conferred. They conferred among themselves. In other words, they had, you know how you done been in a big room with folks just talking, trying to figure out what we're going to do. Everybody got an opinion. You know, when you're in a room like that, Brother JP, everybody got an opinion. What are we going to do? How are we going to get rid of these guys? But the one thing they all agreed on, because normally you get 12 folks in the room or 70 folks in the room, they ain't going to agree on nothing. Everybody going to come in with their opinion. They think their opinion is right. But when you get this here and they say, look here, there's one thing we can't deny. We saw Exhibit A standing out there in the courtroom with her. We can't deny that. So now what are we going to do? Because everybody saw Exhibit A. They got it in their head right now. What are we going to do? Then they say, look in verse 16, it says, what do we do with these men? They ask each other. We cannot deny that they have performed a miraculous sign. And everyone in Jerusalem know it. Well, let's look at 17 and 18 and see what that decision is. Look at the decision. But to keep them from speaking their proper gana. In other words, they're saying that, you know, Peter and John are just spread fake news. That's the fake news. That's all propaganda is. Fake news. Man, that day I just talking about some dude, Jesus, I've been raised from the dead. Fake news. Died on the cross for the world. Savior of the world. Fake news. And there are some people today who think that's fake news. But you got to believe that it's the truth. Amen. You got to know you ain't walking around with propaganda. You walking around with the truth. And the truth will set people free. But you can't let those folks who accuse you of spreading propaganda to shut you down. Because they want to use that to silence you. And what happened is the world has silenced the Christian today because they got you thinking all you're spreading is proper. You got to know that you're spreading truth, Jimmy. And when you know you're spreading truth, you got to stand on that. The whole world in the secular world is standing on their truth. I got my truth. I got to tell my truth. I want to hear your truth. Your truth ain't going to save nobody unless you're going to talk about the truth of Jesus. Yeah, I don't mind you talking about your experience and what you came through. That's all right. But that ain't going to get me to heaven. I need to know a truth that's going to get me to, that's going to allow me to experience eternal. So somebody said, we ain't talking propaganda. Somebody said propaganda. That ain't us. No propaganda here. You telling the. So he says, to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in what? We can't kill them right now, but we can shut this movement down. We got to tell them, y'all can leave out of here and do whatever you want to do, but you can't say nothing in that name. You got to wipe that name from your mind. You know, for someone to shut Jesus up in you and allow you to walk around and never mention his name, somebody once said, for a Christian, it ought to be possible for the sun to stop shining before you would shut your mouth and not talk about Jesus. That's just how much and how strongly you ought to believe in that. He says that they warned them not to speak to anyone. You got family members that need to know about Jesus. Why aren't you talking to them? Have you believed this report that you can no longer speak in his name? Oh, Jesus. Then now they get you to arguing by this name. Well, his name really ain't Jesus. That's the Greek way of saying. Y'all don't care whether you say Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. Long as we talk about the one that died on the cross and rose on the third day, you can call him what you want. That's long as we talking about that same guy. The one that you call him Yeshua? Gotcha. Did he die on the cross? Yes. Did he get up on the third day? Yes. We talking about the same. So my argument is not with you over the way you pronounce his name. My argument is with these folk over here who won't recognize his name. And they got the nerve to not recognize his name in my. So they figured we'd do that. So look at this. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them to never speak or teach in the name of Jesus. So now you see Peter's defiant response in verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, then Peter and John replied. And they asked them a question. And I'll ask you this question. Y'all the council. I'm standing up here representing Peter and John. And I just asked a simple question. Y'all done told me to shut up. I can go free. All I got to do is not never mention the name of Jesus again. And we'll just and let you go. And they, when they asked it, they replied, do you think God want us to obey you rather than? Brother Wilson, you probably can answer that. Do you think God want me to obey you rather than? You degree, you educated. Do you think God want me to obey you rather than? So since you're so smart, you ought to already know how I'm going to answer that. It don't make no difference how you threaten me. It don't make no difference what you say you're going to do. It don't make no difference what I got to go through. But I'm going to obey God rather than obey. Y'all better hear me today. And we've gotten to the point now where we're afraid to stand up for God, and then we obey man. Now, there's no problem with people being in authority over you. But when what they are telling you to do go against God, you got a choice. Amen. To me. Verse 20 says this. We cannot stop. Somebody say, we cannot stop. Man, we cannot stop. Brother Wilson, we cannot stop. We cannot stop. The problem is now the church has stopped talking about Jesus. We come to church to be entertained, and the entertainment don't lead us to Jesus. It don't empower us to go out, Brother Herb, and talk about Jesus. We feel good, but we don't know how to defend the gospel. We feel good and we have a good time at church and we shout and we dance. But then now when someone asks us, in whose name do we believe in? We're not bold enough to say it's in the name of Jesus. So he says, we can't stop telling everything we have seen and heard. Man, we got a story to tell. And we're not going to stop talking about Jesus because we've seen what he has done. And the Bible goes on to say that after they strictly warned them and let them go, Peter and John left there rejoicing, Brother Wilson. They was praising God because they done went there and distinguished themselves with this council of 70 men. And guess what? When the people saw that, they started praising. And then they went back to the boys who was at home in the house somewhere. And then when they told them the story, guess what? They started having a prayer and praise meeting right there in the. So what I'm telling you is this. Sooner or later, we're going to have to tell the world about Jesus, and then we're going to have to praise him for the things that he has done and allowed us to do in his name. You can't be bashful. You can't shrink back. When it's time for you to talk about Jesus, you got to be bold enough to do it. You can sit in here all you want on Sunday and look so good. And I ain't finna put you down too far, but I'm going to step on some toes right about now because I just feel like you need to hear it. You can sit in here, clap your hand, yay, 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 rah, rah, rah. And when you go out of here, you don't even know how to say Jesus. During the course of your week, you can talk all week long. Talk about everything and everybody in the world, but never say sooner or later, he got to become part of your vocabulary. People got to know, even if you don't say his name, you ought to be saying things that line up with him. If you want to be distinguished And I know y'all ain't going to handle it because some people going to call you a holy roller and all that. But you just walk out of here and work Jesus in your conversation. You know, something good happened to you. Thank you. You know, you can tell people, I heard a song, the old folks saying, I woke up in my right mind. Thank you. I didn't try to put my shoes on my head. Didn't try to put my underwear on my head. I thank Jesus. I woke up in my. That's a testimony you can share with anybody. I thank that I woke up. I give him the credit. I give him the honor. I give him the glory. And people ought to know that that is the name that if they want to be saved, there is no other name given unto men whereby we must be. Somebody shout that name for me. Jesus. Shout it again. Jesus. One more time like you mean it. Jesus. Jesus. Give him some praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, I challenge you. Distinguish yourself by standing on the. You shouldn't be a closet Christian. Your family and your friends don't even know you know Jesus. That's a weak testimony for somebody who comes to church every week. Somebody who gets the word every week. Distinguish yourself. Stand out for the Lord. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. Hallelujah.